Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
In your Bibles this morning to John chapter 10, as we are on part two of our new series called 24, Live Another Day with God. And like we viewed in the video, God extends an invitation to us to really spend the day with Him, 24 hours. And last week as we began our series, we talked about how that really begins the night before, where God wants us to have a good night's rest. He wants us to include Him in our lives, and He wants to give us good sleep. And then it continues on when we wake up in the morning, and you have your resurrection clock. How many have a resurrection clock? Yeah, or a seize the day clock. How many of you are morning people? You wake up and you seize the day. Some of you are. If you hate mornings like me, it's a resurrection clock. It wakes you from the dead. But it's waking up and including Jesus in the first part of our day. It's making sure that we look to Him early in the morning instead of just looking to our schedule, looking at everything else when we race off and we go on with our life. We then talked about washing with Christ. Just as we take a daily time to cleanse ourselves, to bathe or to shower, we want to cleanse ourselves. We need to be washing ourselves with the Word of God and prayer, letting the Holy Spirit reveal any sin in our lives, any things that are good that we need to include in our lives. And so we talked about washing with God. And then last of all, last week we talked about eating with God and what that all meant. And if you missed our series last week, the opening message, you can go to casperfaith.com, go to the media page, and you can get caught up, because we are trying to learn how do we spend 24 hours a day with God. And it's not just for one day, but it's something God wants us to do every day of the week. And as we go through this, I want you to take out your notes on the back of your bulletin, your sermon notes. And it says, God wants to walk with us 24 hours a day. And as God walks with us, He talks with us. As He walks with us, He talks with us. It's not just that He is a silent partner, someone who's walking through the day with us, and He's just an observer who does nothing, who says nothing. But God wants to speak to us. He wants to minister to us. He wants to help us. He wants to encourage us and guide us. And you and I can hear God speak to us. Now, if you grew up not attending church, if you're not a Christ follower, the idea of God speaking to people, I mean actually talking to people, might seem a little outrageous. You know, maybe you can get your head around, well, okay, God is with me, He's by me, but the thought of God talking to you, speaking to you, that might seem a little bit, you know, off the wall, hard to swallow. But Jesus spells out clearly in John chapter 10 that God does talk to us. Let's pick it up in verse 24. In verse 24, it says, then the Jews surrounded Him, referring to Jesus, and said to Him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you don't believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. Verse 27, this is the key phrase here. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Jesus said that my sheep hear my voice. If He has a voice, that means He is speaking to us. We just need to learn how to listen to Him. If we're going to spend the day with God, then we need to become sensitive to Christ's voice in our life. Now, never in my life have I heard an audible voice of God where it's like, Craig, this is your tummy speaking. My tummy? My tummy? You know, how many remember that old Life commercial, Mikey? You know, there's that invisible person who's speaking to Mikey, okay? If you got to be my generation or older to remember that. But God rarely speaks in an audible voice, but there are several ways that God does speak to us. And we're going to take a look at those today. And if you're taking notes this morning, the first way that God speaks to us is through messages and words that we receive. God speaks to us through messages and words that we receive. Now, many of us, when we get up in the morning, we'll grab the newspaper or we'll flip open our computer or our smartphone, whatever it might be, and we'll check our emails, we'll get on Facebook, because we want to know what's going on. We receive messages throughout the day. We receive messages not just from the paper and from our computers and stuff, but we receive messages by what's on television. We receive messages from other people. We receive messages from our from the radio. We receive messages that are communicated at work, communicated at school. Dr. Phil and Rachel Ray send us messages. The evening news sends us messages. And so we receive messages on a continual basis. And these messages tell us to buy this, to buy that, to do this, to do that, achieve this, attain that. And these messages are saying that you need to either have something or be something if you are going to be happy. And the question is, what is filling our minds? Because what we don't realize is that just as food feeds our body, the messages that we receive feed our soul and our spirit. And so the messages that we allow to come into our life, they're feeding us. And if you feed yourself a box of Twinkies and a six-pack of Coca-Cola every day, what are you going to look like? How healthy are you going to be? Not very. And there is junk food when it comes to the messages that we receive. And so we need to be careful about what we are filling our minds with. Even sometimes good things we're filling our minds with. I once was speaking with a young man who shared with me that he was listening to a certain CD, to this one song, over and over and over. And this was a Christian CD, Christian music, and had good lyrics. And after doing this for several days, he couldn't get the message of this song out of his head. And it was so consuming that when he was at basketball practice, he wasn't listening to anything his coach said. He was thinking about this song. When he was in school, he was a hard time listening to his teachers because the message of this song. And I was talking to him about it. I says, if God spoke to you and impressed upon you to do something, would you hear him? And he says, I've got this song ringing in my head. And here's the thing. I love Christian radio. I love listening to great music. But here's the thing. If I have music going on in my life all the time, and I've got noise going on in my life all the time, maybe I'm not susceptible to hearing God speak to me and minister to me. It is good to turn the radio off, the TV off, and those things off. My wife is gone this weekend. She left me. No, no, pray for me. No, 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 I'm not. She's at a graduation back in Iowa. But I tell you, it is quiet in the house, except for a little yippy-yappy, you know, toy poodle, you know. But it is quiet. But I have used some of this time just to, you know, turn off the radio, turn off the TV, and just have quiet in the house. And it is unusual. And I've been realizing, even this week, how much of the time I just have noise going on in my life. And if there's a constant state of noise, a constant buzz, it makes it very hard to hear God. And so I want to encourage you, realize that God wants to speak with you. He wants to talk with you. Now you say, how does he do this? In your notes, there's two ways that God speaks to us. The first way, the two kinds of messages as we walk with Jesus in your notes, the first one is the Word of God. The Word of God. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, it says, and he answered and said, as written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Friends, the Bible is spiritual food for us. And we need to be in the Word of God on a daily basis to feed us, to feed our souls, to feed our spirits, to make us strong. Someone once said, it's not enough just to hear the word preached on Sundays. You need to be in it every single day, because 7 days without the word makes 1 week. W-E-A-K. If you are relying upon your spiritual strength by coming on Sunday morning and receiving God's word, and that's it, and you don't pick it up until next Sunday, friends, you're going to be weak. You need to be reading your Bibles. We cannot read your Bible for you. The Bible gives you food, and it's as you read the word of God, then God, He will bring to remembrance the things that you have read, the things that you've memorized, the things that you've been putting into your life and filling your mind with. In Romans 12, it says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that mind renewal comes from being a person who is in the Word of God, because it's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it can transform your life. If you're struggling with fear, then you need to get a word from God. Maybe you want to take Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, where it says, have I not commanded you? Look at that verse. It's a command. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you. Do you realize God has commanded you to not be afraid and fearful? So if you're being afraid and fearful, you're disobeying God. Ouch. And you just begin to put that word in your life. Say, God, you've told me there's no reason. There's no reason. It's a command. And so I will not. I'm going to obey. I'm going to trust. And you just meditate on that word over and over. And let God, as you are reading your Bibles in the morning, God will give you things that will apply. He'll help them. He'll remind you as you go throughout the day of something you read or something you heard. And it'll bring it back up and it'll feed your soul. If you're struggling with lust, Job 31, verse 1 says, I've made a covenant with my eyes that I will not look upon a young woman. The NIV says, I won't look lustfully upon a young woman. We need to fill our minds with the Word of God, with whatever areas of temptation and struggle that we're dealing with. The Word of God is how we receive messages from God. So be a person of the Word. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, read your Bible this week. That is awesome. Now, how many of you are going to do it yourself? Because you got to practice what you preach. If you just preach it, you got to practice it, okay? All right. The second message there in your notes, the second message that we get from Jesus is the voice of God. The voice of God. Most of our prayer life is spent talking, where we're sharing our needs and our fears and our dreams and our hopes with God. Generally, we spend very little time listening to God. We take little time waiting quietly upon God for Him to speak to us. I encourage you to be quiet in God's presence. Let God impress upon you in your quiet time what He wants to say and what He wants you to do. Now, sometimes as you're waiting, God might give you something. There's times when I wait on God and He gives me nothing. But it's important just to take that time to receive messages and impressions from God. And we're told in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or to the left. This past week, I got into my car, and I was ready to come to church, ready to come to the office, and it was like all of a sudden, I've been trying to just listen to God, to be aware of God's presence, and I felt God say, check your briefcase for your sermon. And I had a file where I had some materials in there as I was going to use to put this sermon together, and I looked, and the file was gone. It wasn't there. And so I got out, I went in the house, looked around, I found it, and I got back into the car, and I thought, man, I'm glad I was listening to God. Otherwise, I would have driven to the office, when I would have, you know, gotten it out to work, and my message would have been gone. Where is it? Oh, my goodness. And it just saved me a ton of time. But God wants to give impressions to you and I that guide us, that help us, that strengthen us. Impressions when maybe you're going to face a temptation or a difficult circumstance, maybe an impression about someone to call, someone to write a note to, someone that you need to see. Or maybe he might say something to you about your son, your daughter, your spouse, about how you can minister to them in a specific way. God does want to talk to us. We just need to be open to him. We need to let him guide us. Now, here's the thing. Any impression you receive from God will line up with the Word of God. God will not tell you to do something that goes against his Word. Over 20 years ago, when I was a youth pastor in Salt Lake City, Utah, there was a guy in the church, had a beautiful wife, four kids, and he ended up getting a divorce, and he had been having an affair with another woman, and he ended up marrying her. And this is his justification. He says, well, this affair makes me happy, and a good father makes his children happy. God's my father. If he's a good father, then he'll let me do this because it makes me happy. I wanted to say to him, and does this affair, does this breaking up your marriage, does that make your kids happy? Does that make you a good father? God will not tell you to do something that violates his principles that he laid down in Scripture. So don't go off getting all loony, okay?
Don't say, oh, God told me to, you know, do this.
And if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then God did not speak it. All right? So there, you need to be aware of that. Everything lines up with the Word of God. But God does speak to us. And we just need to be aware as we go throughout our day, God, what are you saying to me when I go to Walmart? Lord, when I'm at work, when I'm at school the next day, you know, I have one more day left of school. But even there, God, what do you want to do in me and through me? That's the first way God speaks to us, is through messages and words that we receive, okay? Let's take a look at the second way God speaks to us. And this is a way that most of us really do not like, and it is through interruptions. You get a phone call, and it interrupts your day. But God does speak through interruptions in our life. In fact, that is one of the major ways he speaks, and we just have to embrace them. And so many times, we chafe over the interruptions in our lives. In your notes, you'll see that there's two kinds of interruptions that God speaks to. Letter A, the first one is ministry interruptions. Ministry interruptions. What would have Jesus' ministry looked like if he had not allowed himself to be interrupted? What would have it looked like? If you travel through the Gospels, you could make a case that the majority of Christ's ministry was because of interruptions. Many of the greatest miracles were an interruption in Christ's schedule, in his plan, and his agenda. In Mark chapter 10, verse 46, the healing of blind man Bartimaeus. Jesus is walking down the road, and blind man Bartimaeus interrupts him. In Mark 1, verse 40, a leper interrupts Jesus' teaching, and Christ heals him. In Luke 7, verse 36 and 38, Jesus sits down for a meal at a Pharisee's home, and a sinful woman interrupts, and Jesus stops and forgives her. And you talk about interruptions. This is really interesting. In Luke 8, 41, a man interrupts Jesus. He says, heal my daughter, she's dying. And so Jesus allows this interruption, and he's on his way to the man's house, and then a lady tugs on him, touches his hem, and she's healed. There was an interruption to the interruption. And in the process, this young girl dies. But Jesus goes on and he heals her. Almost every ministry that took place was an interruption in Christ's life. Jesus didn't wake up and say, oh, I think I'm going to heal this blind person today. No, he just walked through his day and God interrupted him. Jesus' cousin and friend, John the Baptist, was beheaded. Christ is sad. He is grieving. He's mourning. And in Matthew chapter 14, verse 13, it says that when Jesus heard about John, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. He just has to get away. He wants to be alone. And it says, but the multitudes, when they heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And as you continue to read there in Matthew 14, Jesus spent the whole day teaching them. And then the disciples say, send them away. He says, no, you feed them. And Jesus fed the 5,000. Here Christ is grieving with one of the most difficult moments he's experienced. And he allows himself to be interrupted. And he puts his pain and his sorrow and his mourning to the side. And he says, okay, I'm going to minister. Friends, God wants to use you and I to touch people's lives. But we have to be willing to set aside our plans and our agendas, and sometimes our pain and our hurt, and say, God, you've opened a door. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but with your strength, it is sufficient for me, and I will minister. I maybe feel like I don't have enough time, but if I do go through this interruption, I won't get everything done that I have to get done. Friends, can God do more with 23 hours than you can do alone with 24? Yes. Trust God with the interruptions in your life because he wants to use you to minister to other people. Tommy Barnett, who's pastor of Phoenix First Assembly, talks about how when they founded the Dream Center, it's an inner city ministry in Los Angeles, he was walking into the Dream Center to speak to a big city councilman about a very important meeting, and there was this young man who says, hey, mister, can I talk to you? And Tommy turned and looked, and there was a young kid with purple spiked hair, tattoos on his head and his face, all over his body, piercings in his nose and his ears and his navel and just all over the place. And he has this huge iguana sitting on his shoulder and the tail goes down to his knee. And Tommy says, you know, I'm going to a meeting, I don't have time. He says, but mister, I need help. And so Tommy takes the time and he's saying, I got to get to this meeting. He goes and talks to this young man. This young man shares his story. And he says, I want to come to this place. I need help. I'm in drugs and all these different things. And so Tommy brings him in, and that young man eventually became the head of their video department at the Dream Center. And today, that young man is on staff for Rod Parsley, and he heads up the television department at a church of 6,000 people. All because Tommy was willing to let God interrupt his schedule. Are you and I willing to trust that as Jesus is walking with us through the day, as the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us, and something comes up and it interrupts us, we can say, okay, God, I can trust you. I realize that you want to do something now. Will we listen to that voice? Will we hear the shepherd's call and say, minister? Let God interrupt you. Interrupt your pain. And I'm not saying stuff your pain. I'm saying experience. But when God brings a situation, be open to being used of God through your pain, through your agenda, through your plans. That's the first interruption. The second interruption in your notes is this: difficult times. Difficult times. When we go through difficult times, it's an interruption of our lives. We never plan to be in a car accident. We never plan for the water heater to fail. We never plan to get that bad report from the doctor. And when we are interrupted with difficult times, it's easier for us to feel, you know what? Jesus is not walking with me now. Jesus doesn't care about me. He's not protecting me. He's not looking out for me. And in those difficult times, we need to hear God say, hey, everything is going to be all right because I am with you. The tendency of our human nature is to respond to difficult times with fear or anger, frustration, worry, discouragement, all those things instead of a calm trust in God. We want to grumble and complain instead of having a heart of praise and of joy. We're told in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. When we encounter problems, whether they be big or little in our lives, I want to be walking so close to Jesus that I'm going, okay, God, I'm not going to fret this because you're with me. You're going to just produce character in my life and perseverance and hope, because as I have a character that says I'm trusting in God and I'm relying on Him, it will give me peace, it'll give me joy, and I won't be grumbling and complaining or angry or anxious. And I need to trust Him. Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 27 and 28, this is back to our text where we started out, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Friends, there is nothing, there is no situation you're going through that can snatch you out of God's hand. There's no situation that has removed you from His care, from His protection, and from His love for you. You can trust God. No matter how bad it is, you talk about interruptions. Job was interrupted. He had one servant come and says, "All of your oxen and servants have been killed." Another one comes, "All of your sheep and donkeys have been killed." Another one comes, "You know, all of your camels, your transport business, UPS or UCS, United Camel Service, what can Brown do for you? You've lost it all." And then the last interruption, "All 10 of your kids have died." And in the midst of this interruption, Job says, "You know what? I'm going to keep following God." He says in chapter 13, verse 15, "Though he slay me, yet I'll trust him." In chapter 23, verse 10, he reaffirms that later on. He says, "God knows the way I take, and when he's tested me, I will come forth as gold," as something that's precious and priceless to God. You might be going through a difficult circumstance today. Friends, trust God in this interruption in your life. I'm going to close with this story. Charles Spurgeon was a great pastor and a preacher back in the 1800s. And he was only 22 years old, and God just blessed him in a powerful way. His congregation outgrew its building, so Spurgeon arranged to meet at the music hall. He rented the music hall at Royal Surrey Gardens in London. It was one of London's most spacious and most beautiful buildings, and they rented it out for Sunday night services. They had 10,000 people come out for that. And the first night they're there, they go through the whole evening, and Spurgeon gets up to preach, and someone yells, "Fire, fire! The galleries are giving away. The balconies are giving away." And there is a panic, and people just flood out of the building. It's pandemonium. 7 people die, and over a couple of dozen were admitted to the hospital. Spurgeon is just reeling in shock, and he had to be carried, literally carried, to a friend's house where he remained in seclusion for weeks. And he would weep and cry during the day, and at night he had terrifying night terrors, night dreams, and it was just horrible. And he said, "My thoughts were all a case of knives cutting my heart to pieces." The depression he was in almost ended his ministry, but finally he began to meditate upon God's Word. And as he meditated on God's Word, it began to restore his soul. There was still throughout his life that depression came back. And he says, "You know, I continually suffer with depression. It keeps coming back, but I have to keep turning to Christ." He didn't let his pain paralyze him and cause him to stop following Christ. And as a result, in his lifetime, he pastored that church 38 years. He baptized over 14,000 people, and it's estimated that over 10 million people physically heard Charles Spurgeon preach. Friends, Charles Spurgeon could have allowed that interruption to destroy his life, but instead he says no. He heard a word from God, and he kept renewing his mind. He said, "God is with me, and through the Word and through the presence of God, I can do all things because it's Christ who strengthens me. This morning, God is speaking to you and me. And we need to have ears that are perked up and hear what He is saying. What's God saying to you today? I want you to look at the bottom of your sermon notes. It says next steps. And there's three boxes there. The first box says, I need to confess my sin and commit my life to Christ. There might be some of you here today, you'd say, you know what? I don't hear from God. You know, I don't believe in this. And Jesus is the reason you don't hear is because you're not my sheep. A sheep follows the voice of the shepherd. But a goat, there's another place Jesus talks about sheep and goats. Goats, they don't follow anyone. A goat just says, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm in charge. I'm king. I'm boss. And Jesus said, if you're a goat, you're going to be separated from me. If you're going your own way, if you don't surrender your life, if you don't follow me, you're not going to spend eternity with me in heaven. But those who are my sheep, who hear my voice, they will never perish. They will have eternal life, and no one will snatch them out of my Father's hand. And there's some of you here today, you have never surrendered your life to Christ. You've been a goat, and you've been doing your own thing, and you haven't confessed that you're a sinner. Do you realize Jesus died for your sin? That's why He gave His life on the cross, because He wants you. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you, but you have to surrender. And if you're here this morning and you need to give your life to Christ, I want you to check that box right now. Just check it off, saying, I'm giving my life to Christ. I'm turning from my sin. There's a second box there, and it says, I need to be sensitive to God's voice in this area of my life. And then there's a line, and many of you here, you are Christ followers. And as we've been sharing today, as we've been talking, God has put on your heart, on your mind, something that you need to do. God is speaking to you. Maybe it's about your schedule. You haven't been allowing God to interrupt you and minister to others. Maybe you're going through an interruption of a difficult time and you're really struggling with God. I want you to write that down. Maybe it's, I need to get in the Word on a regular basis. I'm really not in the Word to even hear from God. Whatever God is speaking to you today, I want you to write it down. And maybe there's something other that God has spoken to you. There's another place. Mark that down and write it today.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.